From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Ollie. There's a terrible smell of shit around London, and for once, you can't blame it on the Thames being at low tide. Oh, God. The world has gone mad. Welcome to Thursday's Richie Allen Show. Hope you've had a good Thursday. It's been raining cats, dogs, leprechauns, the whole lot. In Salford and Greater Manchester, it's not good. It's not good at all. How you doing?
Richie Allen.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
I've got a terrific program lined up for you today. The terrific scientist, the brilliant scientist, Dr. Chris Busby, returns to the Richie Allen Show to talk about a terrific video that he's put on YouTube in the last few days about how progress, technological advancement, how it disturbs economic equilibria in a way as to take money from the poor and hand it over to the rich. And he compares the tragedy of the commons to what's happening today, and he introduces the notion of central banking and how that is also responsible for the transfer of wealth from us, the great unwashed, to the financial elites. Don't miss it, Chris Busby, this hour. And in the second hour, Deborah Tavares will join the programme live from California. Spoke yesterday, of course, about how the California's electricity company, the utility company Pacific Gas and Electric, is planning or is warning that a shutdown in the next few days is going to affect about 800,000 homes, businesses and other locations. Why the necessity for the shutdown? Well, it's to prevent wildfires. Deborah Tavares, StopTheCrime.net, lot to say on that. She joins the program in the second hour. Indeed she does. Yeah, it's been another horrible day. Several soakings today. I think somebody should call Guinness. There's an Irish guy living in Salford. Big, tall, baldy guy. Gammon-esque. Gammon-esque if you can't recognise him. And he's been soaked into the skin 350 times this week alone. Must be a record there somewhere. Maybe someone living in a rainforest, maybe, might take the blue ribbon, but I'm tired of it, to be honest. I'm sick to death of it. The dog couldn't give a shite. Those funny dogs couldn't give a shite. Just laugh at you. Okay, supposed to have a phone-in programme today, but we're going to do it on Monday. All right? On Monday, Montag, Day Lewin, we'll do the old phone-in on Monday, and we will, without fail, unless something extraordinary happens over the weekend, and it'll revert back to Thursdays then. Now, Boris Johnson, the Irish Prime Minister, has met Leo Varadkar in the northwest of the country, the UK, that is, today. And apparently they had constructive talks on the UK's Brexit proposals, and apparently they both believe a deal is possible. They can, quote, see a pathway to a possible deal. Oh. Gives you the impression that Leo Varadkar is acting autonomously, the Irish Taoiseach. Of course he's not. Anyway, they issued a joint statement and they looked very happy. The UK's Brexit Secretary, Stephen Barclay, will go to France tomorrow, or will he go to Brussels? In fact, he'll go to Brussels to resume talks with officials there, yeah. As you know, Boris Johnson continues to insist that the UK will leave the European Union either with or without a deal at the end of this month in 21 days. Yeah, 21 days. The former Chancellor of the Exchequer, fellow Conservative Philip Hammond, I don't mean I'm a Conservative, Boris Johnson is a Conservative, former Chancellor Philip Hammond, a Remainer to the bone, and the dark side of the force. Look at him. He bears a striking resemblance to the Emperor in Star Wars. He does, actually. Does Philip Hammond. Anyway, he was on Sky this morning and he was asked about Boris Johnson's repeated statement that the UK leaves one way or another by October 31st. Adam Bolton asked Philip Hammond this.
So what do you do then? What do you do if Boris Johnson says...
Pop quiz, asshole. What do you do? What do you do? Boris Johnson says we're not going anywhere. Boris Johnson says we are going. We're leaving. What do you do? What do you do? Shoot the hostages. What does Philip Hammond say?
Failed to reach agreement with the European Union. I'm going to honour the vote in 2016 and I'm going to aim to take Britain out of the European Union without an agreement. What do you do then?
Well, first of all, the vote in 2016 did not give a mandate for leaving with no deal. That was not what was proposed by the Leave campaign in 2016, and it has no legitimacy. But Parliament, which is sovereign in our democracy, has legislated to prevent a no-deal exit on the 31st of October. And I'm confident that the Prime Minister will abide by his obligations under the Benn Act. He'll seek an extension from the European Union. That extension will then be granted. So the challenge for all of us is how we're then going to use the next 3 months constructively to get a deal.
That's not what they're saying in Downing Street. They're saying they have got a way to get out by the end of October.
I don't care what they're saying in Downing Street. This is bravado. There is no way around the Benn Act. All the top legal authorities are clear. There is no way around the Benn Act. The Prime Minister has given an assurance in the Scottish court that he will deliver his obligations.
Well, hang on, wait a minute. You have to get an extension from the European Union. It's being reported today the European Union is saying they would only grant an extension for an election or for another referendum.
That is not my understanding of the European Union's position. That is what one individual from the European Parliament said.
President of the European Parliament, and
The Daily Telegraph has chosen to big that up.
Oh, they've bigged it up, all right. That's French President Emmanuel Macron and his very, very old wife, Brigitte. Yeah. She had it off with him when he was underage. Do you know that? I say that because I'm watching, I mentioned on the newspaper reviews this morning, I'm watching the third season of Mr. Mercedes, and there's a paedophile plot in there. Well, there's a grown man in the show, and he's having sex with an older woman, but she first began having sex with him when he was 13. Macron is some sort of kind of mind-controlled, I don't know, some sort of hostage, isn't he? Interesting fella. Yeah, it's Macron that has been saying, listen, we'll give you the extension if you agree to have a referendum or an election. Now, we're tired of Extinction Rebellion. And if you think that every day for the next 2 weeks we're going to talk about them, well, you're right. No, you're not right. We're not going to. But this made me giggle today. An Extinction Rebellion activist was taken off a plane at London City Airport. Literally. There was one taken out from inside the plane, and there was another guy on top of the plane. Yeah. And there was a guy called Nicholas Watt on the plane. He works for BBC's Newsnight. And he said the flight was just about to take off when a protester refused to resume his seat. So police arrested several people who blocked the airport entrance. Others glued themselves to the floor. And one bloke managed to climb on top of a plane. Now, the bloke who climbed on top of a plane is a partially sighted former Paralympian who managed to get on top of a plane and live stream from there, this partially blind former Paralympian on top of a plane.
What kind of fuckery is this?
What kind of fuckery indeed? What did he say when he was on top of the plane, this partially sighted guy?
I managed to get on the roof. Oh man, I'm so shaky. So this is all about the climate and ecological crisis. We're protesting against government inaction on climate and ecological breakdown. They declare a climate emergency.
Wow. How did a partially blind Extinction Rebellion bloke, who apparently had already been arrested for plotting to fly drones, partially sighted, flying drones, and he was allowed to climb on top of a jet and glue himself to it. Did you hear that, Tom?
No. Could you repeat it? Because I can't believe my fucking ears.
I can't believe my fucking ears either. How did that happen? How did that happen? A short time before coming on air, I spoke to the head of security at London City Airport, and I said this to him.
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard! Jesus Christ, I've met some dumb bastards in my time, but you outdo them all.
Yeah, you see, I sound very like Gene Wilder when I get angry. I mean, first of all, if I'm the chairman of the International Olympic Committee, I'm going to take any medals won by this guy in the Paralympics, this partially sighted guy, I'm going to take him off him. Because he managed to circumnavigate, get up on top of a plane and glue himself to it. And he's not supposed to be able to see nearly. Jesus, huh? Yeah, so 2 weeks of this crap, 13, 14 minutes past the hour. 2 weeks of it. Oh, God. Mentioned this morning on the old live stream thing on YouTube. Secret briefing notes accidentally shown by Donald Trump tell us that the US diplomat's wife, who is believed to have caused the death of a British teenager called Harry Dunn, she will not be brought back to the UK for trial. So Trump had a card which was marked secret, and the card instructed him to respond to a direct question about whether Anne Sokoulis would be returned to the UK to say, he was told that she would not be. I mean, can have a little bit of Trump, can we? Here's a bit. Oh, yeah. Keep your own microphone open, Richie. Jesus. Here's Donald Trump speaking about this earlier on. Here he is.
You know, you have two wonderful parents that lost their son, and the woman was driving on the wrong side of the road. And that can happen. You know, those are the opposite roads. That happens. I won't say it ever happened to me, but it did. When you get used to driving on our system, and then you're all of a sudden in the other system where you're driving, it happens. Have to be careful, very careful. So a young man was killed. The person that was driving the automobile has diplomatic immunity. We're going to speak to her very shortly and see if we can do something where they meet. It was a terrible accident.
Yeah, no point in crying over spilt sons, eh? Jesus wept. She's not going to go anywhere. They might facilitate a meeting between her and the parents in the US, according to the Donald. Lovely jubbly. Did you see Harry Hewitt on the television today with Ed Sheeran, did you? They've teamed up for World Mental Health Day, telling us that there's no need for us to suffer in silence. I don't know about you, but it depresses me to see those ginger Muppets come on television in the afternoon to tell us that we are all suffering from mental health. That's what they say, by the way. They say we're all suffering from mental health. Not issues, just mental health. Well, my mental health is good. Could it be that you're not suffering from mental health? Anyway, they made a video for Instagram. There's nothing remotely funny about it. None of them can act. Dreadful stuff. And they joked about being ginger. Nothing funny about being ginger. But they joked about it anyway. We are ginger, and we're going to fight, they said. We're going to fight, goddammit. Welcome to the Richie Allen Show. This is a Thursday's programme. Hi to Mark Best. Mark, you're a smart man. You had it nearly right. Yeah, Philip Hammond. Something of the night about him, says Mark Best. And Mark was thinking of, back in the day, Anne Widdecombe said the same thing about Michael Howard. There's something of the night of him. There was indeed. Yeah. I might get absolutely hammered now for making those stupid jokes about the blind guy. But how do you get through an airport if you're partially sighted? How do you get up on top of an aeroplane? You've got to have help, right? And by help, I don't mean a bunch of hemp-wearing, sweaty, dreadlocked-wearing lunatics. I mean, you've got to have inside help, is what I'm saying, you know. I don't know. Deborah Tavares will be on the programme in the second hour. Before that, in a few minutes, Dr. Chris Busby will join me. This is your Richie Allen Show. I'm going to say it again. Thanks to everybody who set up recurring contributions to the programme for the first time in the last 36 hours. Thank you so much. You have no idea how much it means to me. Thanks to everybody who's already been doing that. And thanks to one or two people who made significant contributions in the last couple of days. I mentioned this morning, very generous contributions. I'll be in touch with everybody in due course. It might take me some time, but I will. I always do. So a million thanks to you. I wish I could meet you face to face so you'd believe me when I say thanks, because I do mean it. It's lovely to do this. It's hard work, But I get a great kick out of the fact that you actually listen to it, that you can give, you know, a couple of hours out of your schedule to listen to it. That means a lot to me as well. Hi to Liz Jones. Hi to Jason, who captions the Harry Hewitt and Ed Sheeran photograph with "Harry meets a brother he didn't know existed. Was it James, a horny devil?" Indeed, I like that. I like that as well. Hi to Dean Smith. How you doing, Dean? Hi to Samadhi. How you doing, Samadhi? To everybody else who's tuning in, thanks to Jeffrey Jackson for the very interesting link to the story about Johnson and Johnson's and the talking powder, the carcinogen, and the cases that they lost and the cases they didn't lose. Jeffrey Jackson, who's a brilliant journalist and researcher, reminded me today that internal documents revealed in court through discovery, of course, showed that Johnson & Johnson knew that their talcum powder even had asbestos in it and would likely cause cancers in some people. That's right. These people don't care. It's psychotic in massive corporations. It's psychosis. If you've never seen the film The Corporation, which is a film based on a book written by a man called Joel Bakan, watch it. It's free to watch on YouTube. The Corporation, it's marvellous. What a film. Free on YouTube, based on the book by Joel Bakan. Corporations are psychotic. Absolutely psychotic. Gail is furious that this woman in America killed someone and got away with it. My lad's best mate was killed last year and the driver has never been caught. 16 years old, he was killed, and his family and my boy are still suffering. That's a terrible thing. How did he get away with it? Presumably no evidence, no cameras, presumably. Shocking for the family. Yeah, they'll probably arrange for this guy, the diplomat, and his wife to meet with the family of young Dunn. And anyway, right. Look, here's music from Mumford & Sons. When we come back from that, we'll have Dr. Chris Busby on your Richie Allen Show. How about that? Live on Fab Radio 2, triggerwarning.tv, tune in radio, my website as well. It's Thursday's Richie Allen Show, October 10th. Can't wait to speak with Chris. Deborah Tavares later. That is Mumford & Sons on the Richie Allen Show, live in Salford in Greater Manchester, broadcasting across the UK and around the world on multiple platforms, radio, FM radio, internet radio. Good to be with you. Now, my guest this hour is a hero of mine. I'm no sycophant. He's a hero of mine because of the work he did when I first heard of him, exposing the tyranny of the slaughter of people in Fallujah in Iraq using depleted uranium weapons and the lasting legacy of that for those people. He's a great guy. He really is. And he's been on the programme a few times in the last year or so. You know him as a scientist who has previously worked for the UK government. He's a top mind in the field of research of ionising radiation, but he also serves as the scientific secretary of the European Committee on Non-Ionising Radiation Risk. But today we're going to talk about a video that he made about a week or so ago, and his YouTube channel is really fascinating because it's almost like old school kind of thought for the day stuff there. He put a terrific video together about central banking, about the transfer of wealth from the poorest people in the world to the very, very wealthiest. And in it he talked about the role that technology and technological advancement plays in that. And it got me thinking, and that's a good thing. It's no bad thing to get me thinking. It's a terrific little film, about 21, 22 minutes long. We'll put links out to it so you can see it yourself. Let's welcome back to the programme, live in Latvia, I do believe, our friend Dr. Chris Busby. Chris, thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
Yeah, good evening, Richie. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, I'm okay.
Thanks for doing it. Great to be with you. Miserable weather in Salford in Greater Manchester. I bet you're dying of surprise there, but anyway, that's for another day. What a terrific presentation, Chris, by the way. Really good stuff and really thought-provoking. The little description that goes alongside it is very, very good too. Progress disturbs economic equilibria in such a way as to take money from the poor and hand it to the rich. He compares this, Christos, to the tragedy of the commons an influential economics and philosophical scam used in the 60s to justify stealing common land. The problem is the flooding of the closed system of the total value with bank-created money, which increases the value of property and, of course, defrauds those without property. This is a bugbear. This is really getting on your mind. This is annoying you. Talk to us about technological advancement, because most people think that we live in the age of enlightenment, Chris. We live in an age when great things are happening that are doing great things for humanity in medicine, in research and everything else. But you don't see it quite like that.
Well, Richie, the thing is that people, I mean, surely people should ask themselves how it is that as progress continues in terms of technological advance, everybody seems to be more stressed out, work harder, and they're all poorer. And then that doesn't just include people, it includes governments as well. And you need to, I mean, I began wondering, I mean, in fact, I've been wondering for a very long time, ever since I started thinking about all of this in the 90s when I was in the Green Party then, how it was that everything just got worse and worse, although technology produced more and more wonderful devices and wonderful, cheap, more efficient ways of doing things and all the rest of it. And then quite by accident, I was walking across a bridge and there was these people with mobile phones playing some game where they had to identify something on the mobile phone. And there were like 30 people and they all had an expensive mobile phone. I mean, you can look in the shops and see that those things are worth a lot of money, you know, yeah. £500 to £1,000 each. And more or less everybody in the universe has got one of those things now. So that represents an awful lot of money. So I started thinking about how it was that they managed to get all this money. And that led, and that thinking sort of led me to the realization that progress, as you said in your introduction, is a way of taking money from the poor and giving it to the rich. And the way in which that works is really quite simple. It's that in order to buy these things, all these devices, all of the things that progress provides, And I look at this as a chemist, you know, as it's sort of thermodynamic idea that if you put all of the value that exists in the world into a sort of circle, you know, and you say, well, this is what the world is worth at any point in time, and you can include absolutely everything, then of course when you suddenly put into that circle, into that operation, that thermodynamic box, if you like, something completely new, like a mobile phone, which after all, a mobile phone is just something that's made out of all the bits that are already there. So somebody digs up a bit of copper and somebody else has used carbon and silicon and all that stuff, but they rearrange it in such a way as to make a thing that everybody wants. Then the people have to buy it, but of course, so what do they buy it with? Now, of course, they could sell something that they had, but mostly what they want is to keep the things that they had. So what they do, that what they all do, and that includes governments and businesses and everything, is they borrow the money. Now, of course, the money isn't there. The only way they can borrow the money, if the banks, and these are the real villains of this whole business, this whole game, the banks create the money to lend it to them. And after 1970, the banks they didn't have what's called the reserve ratio. It wasn't fixed anymore. They could more or less lend anything they wanted to lend at interest, and they did. So they created vast amount of money. Then people bought all the mobile phones and all the other fruits of technology. But what that meant was that the entire system was flooded with a load of money. So, of course, the more money you put into the system, the less everything, you know, the more everything you have to, the more everything costs, you know. So, like, anybody who owned something at the beginning of all of this, like if you imagine a landowner had like 1,000 acres and it was worth some amount of money, it would then be worth more money. Anyway, we've seen all this happen. We've seen all the house prices go up and up and up and up and up. But of course, people and that increase in house prices is directly a result of the flooding of the system with all this plastic money, all this in, you know, created wealth. And so when that created wealth, it enables the rich people to get richer. But the people who don't have any property, of course, they can't get rich at all. They just stay the same. That's it.
Yeah, it's very, very important that people understand this. I've been thinking along these lines for years as well. I mean, I'm not comparing myself to you, my friend. I'm not. You've a special mind. But I've been on finance for years because I used to be, when I worked in commercial radio, I used to be the economics explainer. You know, I was the guy called in to give a report to a presenter about an economic situation. And this money that's loaned into existence by the banks, the problem is they don't create the accompanying interest with it. And that means that we're condemned to be in an ever-spiralling debt crisis. Isn't that right, Chris? Debt could never come down, because if you're loaning money out of nothing and it isn't backed by reserves of gold, or it isn't coming out of your own reserves, you're loaning that to people to buy things with, and you're not creating the interest. Therefore,
no, it's not. That's correct. The thing is, it's not. It doesn't really exist. This stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when people say, "Well, who?" They'll say, "Oh, well, you know, the United States has this enormous debt, and Britain has this enormous debt." I mean, and then you say, "Well, who do they owe it to?" The trouble is, you know, economics is a sort of black art. When I was in the 90s, my girlfriend then, Molly Scott Cato, now who's an MEP. I mean, she did a PhD in economics, and I had to try and help her, because she wasn't that mathematical. So I tried to figure out what it was all about, and I'm damned if I could. You know, it's just a black art. It's not really a science at all. It's completely bogus. Anyway, so what I figured out then is that actually it is just that. But I couldn't kind of get a line on how it worked. But recently I figured out this thing about the progress and the flooding with money and all and so forth. And I think that is the answer. I think that, first of all, the rich people came along, stole all the land and the property on the basis of this idea of the tragedy of the commons. Which, in other words, you know, all these people who own the common, they can go out on the common land. Of course, that's a bad thing. We ought to own the commons. So they just acquired the commons. I mean, you could go to any town in this country now. I mean, I've got a place in Biddeford, and the council just take over the common land. And they say, well, hey, that belongs to us. Then they sell it off to some developer to make a load of money. And everybody gets rich. But of course, the people who then had the common land before, they don't have it anymore. It's now become somebody else's property.
Do you know what you've described there? It was so brilliant for me watching your film, because I've often talked about banks loaning, not just loaning. I mean, you brilliantly talk about countries. This is not about individuals. It is about individuals, but it's also about states. Banks have, you know, I interviewed many, many years ago a guy called John Perkins. Now, a lot of people think that John Perkins is a kook or he's a liar, but he isn't a liar. John used to work for the World Bank, and it was his job to get Central American countries and shady, dodgy dictators and politicians to take loans from the World Bank, loans that they could never repay, Chris, so that later on the World Bank could send in its companies, the companies of its choosing, to loot those Central American companies to pay off the debt, again, that never really existed in the beginning. That's when I kind of got into all of this. And what you've done, I think, is brilliant. I'm going to tweet your video out all over the bloody place.
Okay.
No, because... Go ahead.
We've had all this in Latvia, Richie, you know. I mean, after the Soviets pulled out of Latvia, and the country was up for grabs, and the Swedish banks just came in, and they loaned money to everybody, and of course then, you know, that people couldn't pay it back, and so they just stole everything. So that's more or less what you've got in Latvia now, and in all the Baltic states too. It's terrible.
It's the biggest secret in the world. People do not understand it. I remember two years ago, the economist Steve Keen came on the programme. By the way, folks, Dr. Chris Busby is back on the Richie Allen Show. Great to have him back. You got to check this gentleman out if you haven't before. I know in the independent media, Chris is rightly feted for the work that he's done on non-ionising radiation and depleted uranium in the past. I'm not blowing smoke at you, by the way, Chris. I'll always love you for what you did in Fallujah, for getting that out to the world, what was done there. I'll always appreciate that. And anyway, Steve Keen came on the programme. And I said, Steve, why is the government borrowing from central banks through issuing government bonds in order to pay for its business? And Steve Keen, some people hate him, some people love him. I'm indifferent. He's an economist and he's a nice guy. And Steve Keen said, you're right, Richie. He said, it is rather silly for Richie, I'm not referring to myself in the third person, he said it's silly for Richie to borrow from the bank of Richie to pay for Richie's daily business. And I said, I said, that's it. It's the greatest conspiracy in the world, Chris, and people don't know.
That's correct, yes. I mean, well, the thing is, so, that, you know, like Mark said, the philosophers have interpreted the world. The point is to change it. I mean, the point is that we have to get rid of these banks. The banks are the problem. If we get rid of the banks, the government would have enough money to buy all the things that it needs to buy. But at the moment, it can't do that. And God only knows what's going to happen if Boris Johnson pulls us out of, in England, that is, pulls us out of Europe, you know, because then they'll have to borrow even more money. I mean, it just doesn't bear thinking about.
Yeah, you've hit on something very important. I would be in favour of the breakup of the European Union, personally, but I agree with you. Boris Johnson is not going to take the UK out and then go after the financial institutions like the World Bank and the IMF and the European Central Bank. He's not going to do that. Chris Busby is our guest. Chris, you talked about property and you talked about your own children and the fact that youngsters today, they've not got a snowball's chance in hell of owning a property. You know, one of the biggest swindles we've ever seen was councils. You talked in your video brilliantly about dodgy goings on at local councils, at local authorities. You know, councils selling off their stock of council houses, which were supposed to be available for the least fortunate people so that they could have a roof over their heads. It's all there, Chris, for people to see it. You talked about this in a roundabout way in your video as well, the corruption that goes along with this.
Well, in Biddeford, where I live some of the time, and I'm not in Latvia or in France, at the moment they are developing the wharf on the other side of the river Torridge, they've thrown all the boats off that wharf, and they're going to build. The council has given them permission to take all of that land, a huge amount of very important land that used to be the historic port of Biddeford, which was a free port, goes right back to Elizabeth. The free port, that means you could come and tie up there and you could stay there and you didn't have to pay any money. And that was the port. Anyway, the Torridge Council have stolen that from the Harbour Board, because it used to belong to the Harbour Board. And now they're selling it off to some developer to build a 5-star hotel. I mean, as if we need a 5-star hotel in Biddeford, which is, you know, just utterly absurd, and a load of shops.
How did they get away with it, Chris? Well, how do they get away with doing that?
Well, it's a good question, but I mean, the answer is that they just pass all these regulations. They acquire power by just saying they have the power. This happened to me in Aberystwyth. They said there was some land just opposite my house in Aberystwyth. They said, "Oh, we're going to take this and put all the recycling containers on it." And I said, "Well, no, you're not." And they said, "Yes, we are." And I said, "Well, you don't own it. Show me the deeds." And they didn't. They couldn't show me the deeds. You see, it's a load of historic skullduggery that goes back and back and back and back, and nobody ever questions it. And the problem is that the councillors themselves are themselves involved in all of the scams. You know, I mean, that why else would you want to be a councillor? I suppose some of them are really nice guys, but by and large, you know, you get onto the council so that your Uncle George can come and build something on a piece of land that was otherwise worthless.
It makes no sense, because local councils in the UK are constantly complaining about a lack of funding from central government. This makes me laugh, because councils are making millions and millions and millions of pounds through say it for me, council tax increases of 2-4% a year, but also through fining people willy-nilly for stupid things, for
well,
parking.
That's true.
Right? So they're making loads of money. But can I just say this, Chris? Imagine your local council, the one you just referred to, that sold off the port to the developer. If they genuinely were underfunded, why wouldn't they want to build a hotel for themselves to be owned by the public, for them to make money on? I mean, it's counterproductive to sell off an asset, because once the asset is gone, it's gone forever, and you're just getting a short-term fix.
It's increasingly the case, Richie, isn't it? I mean, we saw this from Thatcher onwards, that she sold off the family silver. And I mean, that's what everybody does. Generally, I have to say the Tory party, but they put in their councillors and they sell more or less everything off that they can sell. And so somebody buys it for, I mean, they don't sell it for a lot of money, I have to say. They sell it for like £100, you know, and then someone then comes along and buys it for £100 on the basis that they're going to develop it for the people of the town. But of course, they never develop it from the people of the town. They just develop it so that they can line their pockets with huge load of money. We certainly don't need a 5-star hotel here. I mean, that place could be turned into a park or anything. I mean, it's a lovely, lovely bit of land. It could just be developed as it was.
Yeah, they're selling off every square inch of the planet. It's funny you mentioned selling things for less than their value. George Osborne should be hanging from his ankles in the Tower of London. Because, well, he should be, because he was told when he sold off the country's stake in Eurostar, wasn't he, Chris? He was told not to do it. He was told that 2 years after the sale, new routes were going to be announced and the value of the UK stock holding in Eurostar was going to increase exponentially. And he sold it for less than it, you know, than it was worth. And they did the same at Royal Mail as well. I mean, it's an absolute anomaly. I mean, it's not an anomaly. It's a tragedy that the Royal Mail is in the hands of German interests. Crazy. But it is. Chris Busby is our guest. Chris, what could any politician do about this, particularly about the creation of money and the financial infrastructure that we're all, you know, beholden to? Because a lot of learned men and women, a lot of academics over the years have written about previous politicians over the years who attempted to take on this system. Kennedy is believed to have been one of them, Thomas Jefferson another one. And no good came of those people when they tried to take on the financial system of control.
That's right. That's right. They shoot them. I mean, there was a guy, I think Olof Persson or so, who was the Swedish prime minister in the 90s when the banks started to take over. And he tried to stop it, and they shot him. He was assassinated. 1992, 93, something like that in Sweden.
It wasn't the mid-80s. It wasn't Palme, was it?
That's it. Olof Palme.
That's the guy. Yeah, just came Olof to me. Palme, Olof Palme. Right, yeah. You're right. So, you're 100% right. He wanted to take this on, and he was martyred. Yeah.
That's right. So you go to Stockholm now, and there's a little monument to him.
I remember speaking to an economist, a Spanish one, whose name escapes me, but he was very well respected. Chris, he was his name will come to me, very well respected. And I was making a radio show for Talk Radio Europe. We were based in Marbella, San Pedro. And this gentleman came on with me around about the time of the crash, the famous crash 2008, 2009. You know what he said to me, this guy? And he was at the University of Madrid, and he was right-wing now. He was conservative. He was a conservative, right? You know what he said to me? He said, it is a travesty that we are going to bail out the failing financial institutions of New York and elsewhere. Remember, they're failing because of their corrupt, filthy practices, their casino banking. It's a disgrace that we're going to bail them out with taxpayers' money. What we should do, he said, and there was only one or two economists saying it, we should bail the people out. Write off all the debt that is allegedly owed to those banks. Let those banks fail, Chris, and then start our own banks, ones that don't do that.
Well, that is the answer, Richie. The answer is a single central bank. Each country has its own bank, and it controls it from there. These fat cat banks have made themselves rich for 50, 20, 100 years, and increasingly so. And, of course, there will be another crash soon. Everybody's saying that it's going to come. We have to get back the control from the banks, and the answer is to write off. It's just to say, well, we're not going to pay the debt. That's it. Tough luck. Goodbye.
We will have listening to us. For some reason, there's a rumour going around that I'm some sort of right-wing thinker or conservative host. I'm not. I'm an old lefty. I've never been a conservative. Maybe it's because I do get a lot of right-wing guests on the programme for arguments, but there will be some conservatives listening to this now, and they will say, you know what, Chris Busby, you're a bit of a genius. There's no doubt about that. But come on, they'll say, Chris, pull the other one. If you allow governments every 5 years to control the creation of money, well, you're just going to have bloody chaos. Inflation will go through the roof.
I'll tell you one thing, though, and that is this. If you don't do something, well, things are going to get seriously bad. I mean, seriously worse. They are already bad. They are already terrifying. And we know that the environment is collapsing. We know that the debt is beyond belief. And we know we have aging populations that require more and more help. And we know lots and lots of things. You make an enormous, great long list of all the things that are necessary to do, and it cannot be done. So we've got the immovable object an impossible situation, basically. So something has to be done. I think that there is a way in which we can turn this around, but we can't turn it around with the current culture that we have in Parliament, the sort of what you might call the neoliberal market forces view of the world. There has to be something done. I mean, it's easy to figure this out. In fact, I figured this out several years ago, and I'm going to write out a system, a sort of utopian mad system that we can deal with this. But then but if we don't have a utopian mad system, then we're doomed, Richie. We're not going to survive all of this stuff. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. People are going to die.
And the crashes, the economic crashes get worse and worse and worse. And every time we have one, it just results in more land and property being hoovered up, because that's what austerity was. That old Spanish economist whom I spoke to, he predicted that. I wish to God I could get the copy of the interview, but I can't. He predicted it. He said they will bail the banks out. And you know what they'll do? He said they'll bail the banks out and then they'll put that debt onto the taxpayer. And he said they will squeeze vital public services. He said this in Spain to me before it happened.
If that happens, we're back to Victorian England. We'll have people starving on the streets. That will happen.
What's the Latvian view, Chris? How do people in Latvia see all of this? You know, see
Latvia has been utterly destroyed by the Swedish banks. It used to had a population of about 3 million, and then the Swedish banks came in, and all the debt went up and up and up, and their industry was destroyed by the Europeans, by the Danish pig producers, and so forth. And most of Latvia got away. The Latvian young people, the women and the young men, they're all working in Europe in awful jobs and sending the money back to keep people surviving in Latvia. And what's happening now is a lot of rich people are coming into Latvia, you know, to buy up the property and live in farms and build hotels and all the rest of it. So Latvia is a very, very beautiful ex-Soviet type of place where people still believe in the brotherhood of man and so forth, but it has been utterly destroyed by the banking system.
And the people on the ground, the indigenous Latvians, they're seeing that in terms of access to healthcare is becoming more difficult, is it, Chris? Access to money is becoming more difficult?
Yes. No, there are people starving there, for sure. That's right. But what's happening now, though, and what worries me very, you know, hugely about all of this, is that Latvia and the other Baltic states are becoming a sort of front line for NATO adventurism against the Russians. So what's going ahead with Britain pulling out of the EU, and my own feeling is this is probably the main reason for it, in fact, is that Britain has become the lead in NATO North. NATO has been split into two divisions, like NATO South and NATO North. And that was because the French and the Germans were not really that concerned about NATO. NATO, which had to do with the Soviet Union, but no longer needed to exist in terms of the Soviet Union, you see. So NATO South was given over to the French and the Germans to concern themselves with terrorism and Al-Qaeda and all that lot. And NATO North had to be about Russia. So Britain has become a sort of Russia saber-rattling country increasingly over the last few years. And it is now in charge of NATO North. So we're seeing all sorts of NATO troops coming into Latvia, and a lot of money coming into Latvia to build sort of bogus frontline defences against the Russians that they all say are going to come over the border and eat the babies. It's very worrying. So there is money coming into Latvia now, but it's coming from America and from NATO, you know, to militarize it.
What you've just described there sounds to me like somebody is pushing us very, very, very hard for a war, for a proper war.
I know. Well, I mean, I think that is the case. I think certainly, I mean, I remember I got quite famous recently talking about that Skripal poisoning affair.
Yes.
And about, you know, all the Russians and all that business of Iran and gas attacks in Syria and all the rest of it. There's an enormous amount of disinformation going on in Latvia in the press there, and I know from, because I've talked with the people in the British Army people out there who are involved in this disinformation campaign, trying to stir the people up to being fearful about the Russians coming over the border. Actually, the Russians don't have any need to come into Latvia; they already own it.
Chris, I want to. That's a bizarre situation. And you know it is. It's scary. And
the trouble is, Richie, the world is not the world that is presented on the media. That's the problem.
And you know, you made a compelling point there about that being a motivating factor for the UK's withdrawal from the EU. But I do want to say this to you, because I voted to leave myself. Now, as an Irish guy, I remember twice voting against European Union treaties, the Nice Treaty and the Lisbon Treaty. And then the European Union told us to go back and vote again. Chris, I'll say this. I'm a working class boy from trade unionist stock. And a lot of people in the UK voted to leave because membership of the European Union, particularly when Eastern Bloc countries joined the European Union, it did mean that suddenly there was far more competition for what we call unskilled or semi-skilled jobs than there was before. They weren't the xenophobic, hateful mob that they were presented as. They saw the European Union as being a negative thing for them because all of a sudden they were struggling to get work. And this isn't, you know, fanciful thinking. This is true. But they also saw the European Union, you know, getting ever more integrative, you know, militarily and fiscally, and they didn't like that. I think that's one of the. I think that's probably the central reason most people I know who voted to leave. That was the reason they voted to leave. Back to you.
I think you're, I agree with you, Richie. But at back of all of this, you've got to think about the world as described by George Orwell, if you like. You know, I mean, as these communication systems and everything else develop, that you're not going to be, you're not going to survive on your own, you know, as a little country. So either we have to throw our lot in. I mean, I'm saying we, Britain has to throw its lot in with Europe, and I agree. There's all sorts of problems associated with Europe, or it throws in its lot with the United States of America. And I would far rather see it connected to Europe if you had to make the choice than with America, because America ultimately is a militaristic, world-dominating empire.
Yes, no doubt.
Whereas Europe is essentially, it's a social project. I mean, let's not forget about the money now. It was a social project that developed after the Second World War because they said, well, we don't want any more wars, you know, because both of those countries, Germany and France, had been smashed to pieces by those wars. And they didn't want it to happen again. But the problem is Britain didn't think like that. They thought, well, hey, we're so great. Look, we've got India and we've got the colonies and we've got Rule Britannia and all these big warships and blah, blah, blah. All that stuff that my parents were tied into. And me also, because I'm quite an old guy. And I'm 75, so I remember all that stuff, 74. I remember the whole globe being pink and so forth, but it's not like that anymore now. And we certainly don't want, from my point of view, anything to do with the United States and its sort of warmongering against Russia.
I agree with you. It's a brilliant, you know, again, it's a brilliant point. I can't argue with that. And I've no time for Boris Johnson. So, you know, you said if we had to make a choice, you choose Europe. And I couldn't criticise that. Let me put this point to you. Delighted you're back on the programme. Dr. Chris Busby is our guest. Let me put this point to you. I've read some interesting books in the last couple of years by some learned men, and they talked about the large petrochemical companies. I can name them now, BASF being one, EG or IG Farben being another. There's a number of them. And they were very, very friendly with the lunatics in the Nazi party. They were determined, some of these corporations, that Hitler would win. Because they wanted the nutcase Hitler to run Europe, but really he wouldn't be running it. They would be exploiting every resource in Europe thereafter. Now, that is true, or at least to a very good degree that's true. And I wonder if we weren't all sold the notion that the European Union project, the socialist project, was needed to prevent ever having a war in Europe again. But if that wasn't really a cover, and that these massive petrochemical companies never went away, and that the European Union is about trying to achieve what they didn't achieve with the Nazis. And you know, I kind of believe that. So I'm going to allow you to eviscerate my argument now if you want, and I'm going to give you the final word on it. But that's how I see the European Union. I think we've been sold a red herring with it. Over to you, Chris.
Well, the European Union actually started with nuclear, in fact. if you go right back to the beginning of it all, it started as a way in which they could, because in those days they decided that nuclear energy was the way forward, and they had to control the development of nuclear weapons and to get hold of all the uranium and all the rest of it. So the origin of the European Union is in the nuclear Euratom Treaty. That's where it began. And in fact, if you go to the first Euratom Treaty, you find it said, there shall be a European Parliament.
Yeah.
But to come back to your point, I think it could well be true. There's certainly lots of bad guys up there who are maneuvering behind the scenes to try and get power. And that's true all over the world. That's true in the United States. It's true in Europe, and just as well in Europe. But whatever they do, and however they twist things in order to get where they want to, ultimately they are where they've got to. That's my point. And what we have to do is we have to see what we've got in terms of real politic now, and consider what the best option is for the survival of everybody on Earth from now on. Now, the great thing that Europe did is it produced its own currency, the euro. So in other words, there's a balancing currency to the hegemony of the dollar. Okay, the dollar had total control over the whole of trade up until recently. And it was when Saddam Hussein decided to start selling his oil in terms of euro that they took him down.
And Gaddafi.
Gaddafi was going to have the Arabic dinar. He had all this gold in the Bank of England in London. He was going to float the Arabic dinar so that they didn't have to rely upon the trade in dollars. And they took him down as well. So ultimately, it's a good thing to have Europe, because Europe is a sort of balance against the craziness of America. In fact, at the moment, America is becoming crazier day by day.
Day by day is right. And I'm not going to argue with that. I said I'd give you the final word on it, because my listeners do hear me, putting forward my points of view, my anti-European points of view. So they've gotten a different flavour of it today. That video was excellent, Chris. I'd like you to see you do more of those. I know you do plenty of them, but it was brilliant, mate. And you've got a gift for spelling out what again, it sounds very patronising. How dare I say to Professor Chris Busby that he's got a gift for imparting his knowledge and his point of view. But you do, Chris. They're very, very good. I really like it. So thanks for doing it.
Thank you, Richie.
I didn't know you were 75, by the way. You don't sound it. Thanks very much.
74. That's why I don't.
You're 70. You're not 75 just yet. Yeah. But I meant what I said earlier about the Fallujah stuff, Chris. That's hugely important. Hey, listen. In 30 seconds, if you can, do you worry that with what's going on in Yemen? And I shouldn't say it like that. It's genocide in Yemen. Is that going to result in years to come, people being born with all sorts of health complications and birth defects? It's going to happen all over again, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is going to happen all over again. They're using the same weapons.
The same depleted uranium weapons.
Yeah.
Which are supposed to be illegal.
Correct.
Bastards. Chris, thanks, mate. Love you for coming on. Thanks a lot. Good luck, and come back again real soon.
Yep, thank you, Richie.
Brilliant to have you on. Lovely. Chris Busby, what a man. Great guy. Professor Chris Busby, live on the line from Latvia. Very interesting stuff about the creation of money and technology. And the tragedy of the commons, which I'm sure is a phrase you would have heard before, but if you haven't, go and watch the video. I did say I would tweet it out, and I will. I'm a man of my word. I'll tweet it out in a few minutes' time. We're off to California in a few minutes, by the way, to speak with Deborah Tavares. And that story I came across yesterday, I'm sure you came across it too, that PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, has said to nearly a million people, well, 800,000 is nearly a million, it's closer to a million than half a million, 800,000 we'll say. You're going to have power cuts that might last about 5 or 6 days because we need to cut your electricity, put you in the dark because of wildfires. And they're blaming last year's wildfires, of course, as you know, on malfunctioning equipment and that. And that isn't believed to be true either. So Deborah Tavares is a brilliant researcher. This is her area. It's her neck of the woods. She'll join the program in a few minutes' time, and we'll get right into it with her. In the meantime, we'll have some music from Adele. Why not, eh? Adele. This is Thursday's Richie Allen Show. My name is Richie Allen, the big baldy gammon bollocks himself. The time is exactly 3 minutes past the hour. And that was Adele and Rolling in the Deep. Hi to Patrick Vadine and Paul Trainer and Busy and David Stanford. David says, is it a coincidence, Rich, that the Germans own a lot of things now? Are the power cuts a bit to get people to move, or a spanner in the works for directed energy causes of the conflagration? Well, Deborah Tavares will be with me in about 90 seconds, and we'll put that question to her. Hi to William H. How you doing, William? Hope all is well there. To Faisal. How you doing, Faisal? To Chris as well. Very good. Chris talking about the analysis of the monetary policy. No politician in the world, at least no elected politician, no member of parliament, no Chuck de Dola. Now, a Chuck de Dola is a TD, which is Ireland's version of MP, okay? TD, member of the Irish Parliament. None of them will ever broach the subject of money and the creation of money. Hi to Susan. How you doing, Susan? Right, let's get into it. I'm sure I have the article. Have I got the article there? I do. Very important that you have the article. We're going to give Deborah a call now. It's around about 10 o'clock in the morning in California there, about 10 o'clock in the morning. So a power company is cutting electricity to around 800,000 homes, businesses and other locations in Northern California. The BBC is reporting this all week. This is Pacific Gas and Electric. They have said, we're going to render people without power. This is 800,000 homes because we want to prevent wildfires, they are saying. Californians are absolutely outraged by this. They claim that their transmission lines started the wildfires in California last year that were the worst on record. Okay, that's what they're saying. And they say that weather forecasts predict very high winds, so the best thing to do is to cut the power completely to prevent the risk of fallen power lines igniting more wildfires. This is some story, this. No better woman in the world to talk about it than our friend, the activist, the broadcaster and writer, Deborah Tavares. You know about Deborah's website, stopthecrime.net, if you haven't before, stopthecrime.net, and it's also Stop the Crime on YouTube. She has been for some years now producing documents to prove that this is part, this whole thing, of a global agenda to transform the way we live on every level. Let's welcome back to the program Deborah Tavares. And Deborah, thanks so much for doing it. I know you've been working round the clock and broadcasting for hours and hours and hours. Welcome back to our program. How are you?
Well, Richie, thank you so, so much. We are now working neighbor to neighbor to help people that do not have power set up their generators. Sadly, some people are putting them inside their homes or inside their garages, and that is going to create carbon monoxide poisoning, and they need to be vented and outside. But what we are facing is a historic blackout by Pacific Gas and Electric, who is Rothschild. All of our utilities worldwide are run by the global bankers, and that is the reason for the deployment of the electric smart meters that started many years ago for control and consolidation of the power. What we're experiencing here is unbelievable. This is not only a transformation from the electric power grid as we have known it under the guise of climate change. We're being told we have to reduce our use of everything in order to change the weather. Now, I don't know what it's going to take for people to not connect the dots with what they're hearing us disclose now, because the documents tell us this. And the weather, of course, is run by mass amounts of technology. It's all created. The conditions of this critical fire season that we find ourselves in, on the very day, Richie, that they burned us up on October the 8th of 2017, they started this red flag fire warning conversation on October 8th in an area of trauma, existing trauma, where people are still living in recreational vehicles, trying to find a place to park. We have massive, our area is ranked number 10 in homelessness in the United States because of the disruption of housing. We've been hit by weather weapons, not only fires, but also floods in February of 2019, where they literally plummeted a wastewater treatment plant and contaminated all of the streams and rivers. So the blackout right now is part of a massive psychological warfare right now. This is war. Make absolutely no mistake. We are all going to face this. Everyone listening is scheduled for blackouts. They're going to posture the blackouts from a variety of ways that they will convince you it's a blackout. The heat, it will be too hot, which of course they create. Now, Richie, I've been referring people to the climate action plans for years. Everyone has a climate action plan that has been approved in their city. And these plans state blackouts are going to happen, dark starts. Now, we need to understand what this is also going to mean. We're actually literally going around our neighborhoods at night, because during the fires of 2017, there were van loads of people being bussed up from the Bay Area here, about 60 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge, that were looting homes that had not burned around the peripheral of the fire. And several people that stayed behind and saved neighborhoods because they did not leave had to chase looters out in droves with shovels. So I can tell you right now, we have a multi-layered attack going on. We're in the dark. Many neighborhoods are in the dark. And it's very interesting to see how they are observing who's home or not. We're getting telephone books delivered on people's driveways during a blackout. When we have gas stations closed, we have lines around the block of people waiting to fill their gas tanks. We've had fights at the gas pumps. We have street closures. We have four-way traffic lights that are not working, increased crashes because of that. And we have the concern of looters, as what we experienced in the 2017 firestorms that Pacific Gas and Electric deliberately created. Many of you, I hope by now, have listened to our YouTube plan to burn up Northern California. If you haven't, you need to. This is not just California. Understand, these are the global bankers set to absolutely do a massive land grab. And we are going to become climate refugees on many, many levels. And this historic blackout is unprecedented. There has never been an outage this large in California. We can expect many, many more expanded outages with conditions created to start fires. Now, what we've learned too, Richie, is that Cal Fire, I have on StopTheCrime.net, people can go and type in our search bar, Cal Fire's burn 'em up list. They have the cities in California listed. And I would recommend highly that everyone go to StopTheCrime.net, to our YouTube video channel. We've been doing a lot of boots on the ground filming, and you're going to see lots of information beyond just the fires, but how we're intentionally being made to be blind.
You've always done something. It's a tremendous credit to you and your team. You've always produced the documentation from, you know, whether it's from local authorities or from national authorities, to support your conclusions. Deborah Tavares is our guest, StopTheCrime.net, and you mentioned psychological warfare. Does this come down to the people behind it? They want basically to clear the land. They want people to get out of rural areas, of these beautiful areas, these mountainous areas. They want them to go into, is it super cities, Deborah? Is that the plan?
No, they want to actually kill more people than they will ever move into the smart cities. Right. That's an illusion. There is a plan to get rid of people. And what everyone needs to understand, and we have a couple of new posts on StopTheCrime.net on our YouTube video channel, where we are disclosing and exposing what our utility is doing with tree trimming. They're going around and they're supposedly clearing the vegetation that they claim sparked the fires of 2017, which was a cover for directed energy weapons, the use of pulsing the smart meters, which we've documented, and lasers, boots on the ground, arsonists, you name it. It was thrown at us. And certainly we lost over 6,000 homes during that 2017 fire event. And then we have Paradise. We went up to Paradise with a couple of retired fire captains and found the smart meter evidence. You will not hear this anywhere else. And I can tell you this is the biggest massed genocide program and cover up and land grab that you will ever see. And sadly, Richie, we have people just believing that this is just a power outage for a public safety power alert.
Is that what is that what the majority of people think? The majority of people, they get their newspapers or whatever, so they think, okay, we had some really bad fires last year. This is precautionary. This is good. So the majority of people do really go along with it. No questions asked.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting because I was sitting in our Sonoma County Board of Supervisors meeting on October 8th, the day that they were starting to announce the red flag fire warnings. Now, I went up and during my 3 minutes, I said, okay, the conditions for the red flag fire warning are as follows. Low humidity, winds kicking up, and heat. Well, they never say that we're heavily chemtrailed. We were heavily chemtrailed, Richie, on the 8th. Absolutely unprecedented chemtrailing. That was laying out fresh combustible metals that will ignite. So our concern now is, how will they justify this power outage? Maybe start a fire and say, well, it didn't come from the power lines, so we were justified in economically demolishing your towns. Because I can tell you, this power outage is absolutely devastating to small business owners. People can't find ice. There is no ice anywhere. People are unprepared because they don't believe the enormity and the intention behind this. And that's why we posted on StopTheCrime.net a fire and power outage preparedness neighborhood meeting that we had with one of the 30-year retired fire captains on what you must now do to save your homes and your properties. Because we have been told, Richie, out in the WUI, get a load of that acronym, WUI, which means Wildlands Urban Interface. We are on our own. And the firefighters now, the fire captains, are saying we're in an evacuation only.
Right.
1, 2, 3, put your go bag on and run. And there's nowhere to run to in the sense that there is no housing. We, as I said, we're in the top 10 of homelessness in the United States. And they're planning now to start arresting the homeless people. And I can only say that with the limited housing and the fact that much of the housing here in Northern California, which is known as the wine country, is run under contractual agreements with the owners, with Airbnb, which is the alphabet. That's Google. They have literally destroyed month-to-month capability for people to find housing because people can make more money if they're under contractual agreements with Airbnb. And when people were burned out of their homes in 2017, they were jumping from one Airbnb home to another. Some people in a six-month period of time moved four or five times because of the contractual limitations of their being able to stay in someone else's home because they had an Airbnb contractual arrangement. This has all been pre-planned, set up, and we are absolutely being devastated, and you will not hear the truth from anyone else, as it seems.
No, you won't. Let me jump back in just briefly. Deborah Tavares is our guest. StopTheCrime.net. 18 minutes past the hour. PG&D, Pacific Gas and Electric, which is a subsidiary of Rothschild Inc., I believe, that company. It's a subsidiary of Rothschild Inc.
In fact, when we first discovered that, we were sitting at an annual shareholders meeting at the main headquarters of PG&E in San Francisco a number of years ago.
Yeah, it's important.
And
to know
there was an introduction with the dignitaries in the first few rows. We didn't know who was who, but they said Rothschild. And so when we followed that lead up by typing in PG&E and Rothschild, we found Roger Kimmel, K-I-M-M-E-L, who was a CEO for Rothschild LLC. We tracked down many of the other major utilities throughout the United States, and all the same. Southern California Edison is under the umbrella of Edison International, another Rothschild run utility. In fact, as I said in the program, all the utilities are run by Rothschild and the bankers for absolute control, and which is why we all have smart meters.
Well, what's significant, Deborah? What is really significant about the banks controlling the utility companies is because the whole idea of climate action plans came from banksters, didn't it? We call them banksters because they are gangsters. It initially came out of the banking world, this idea of climate change needing to be tackled. We're going back to the 1980s, right?
Well, we are, and I can say to you, we actually are going back to the report from Iron Mountain.
Yeah.
So for those of you that have not read the report from Iron Mountain, I would recommend that you download that and put that in your library. You can also certainly watch the YouTube video that was put together by a Christian organization. And basically, that report came out soon after John F. Kennedy was murdered. And that report discloses the annual intention of required reduction of population, in other words, genocide. That report reveals the intention to pollute the air, the water, and the food supply again to reduce the population, and to also, they said, generation and a half to substantially pollute the Earth enough where they could invent a replacement for war.
Yeah.
And that was, they invented climate change. They invented global warming. This is an invention, as you said, by the bankers for global disruption and massive population extinction. Because when you look at what's really behind the climate change venue, you find that it's deep ecology. And deep ecology, some of the main platform points are that all life, human and non-human, have equal value. Resource consumption above what is needed to supply vital human needs is immoral. I'm going to just go over that one more time.
Yeah, say that again.
Resource consumption above what is needed to supply vital human needs is immoral, and human population must be reduced. And Western civilizations and industrialized civilizations, where you are too, must be radically changed and must change present economic, technological, and ideological structures. So what we have to understand is the climate action plans tell us, and no one is reading them. That's why we're telling you about them, that we must reduce our greenhouse gas emissions that end up being equivalent to an existence back in 1750 before we had any mechanical machinery at all. That's where they say we have to be in order to stop the climate from changing.
Are you watching, Deborah? Are you
weather weapons, Richie?
Weather weapon, and you know, many years ago, I would have thought the idea of weather weaponry as preposterous, but I think you're absolutely right on that point. And speaking of this climate action plan to kind of weaponize the climate, while they are actually doing things nefariously to affect the climate, but we're seeing the results of that action plan in London today, but not just in London. In Dublin, in New York City, with Extinction Rebellion. I know you're following that. London is at a standstill. Well, maybe I'm being a bit exaggerating there, but it's huge disruption in London. Thousands and thousands of people. And you know what, Deborah? Many of them are very sincere people. Many of them really believe this stuff.
Well,
you know?
Richie, we had the same event here on September the 20th, on that Friday, that international student strike and walkout to protest and to try to bring in policies to slow the weather down from changing, to prevent climate change. And what is sad is these kids now have been traumatized in school, in public education, in a reality that is not real. They are frightened for their lives. And I think anyone that has been allowed by their parents to be programmed to the extent that many of these kids have become mentally ill. This is what we face. We face a psychology now platformed on top of a reality that is not real. And they really do believe that they've maybe got 12 to 10 years left before the planet will not sustain human life. And when you look at what the plans are under the guise of climate change, which is weather weapons, they're telling us right now in government reports that the global infrastructure that was built decades ago, it was not built to sustain the type of severe weather events due to climate change, due to too many people using too much stuff. They're saying that our dams will blow, our reservoirs will also go, that our wastewater treatment plants will be trounced upon, and that is what's happening. Our wastewater treatment plants, that happened here in Northern California in February of 2019, where they literally, as they call it, set an atmospheric river right over us and literally caused all of the untreated sewer to millions of gallons go into our rivers and creeks, and it went into the Russian River where Bohemian Grove is located. It's displaced thousands of people and caused heavy contamination. But our sewer systems are going, our levees are also going to be trounced upon, our gas lines certainly have not been maintained. Infrastructure has been allowed to fail intentionally. They always knew that these would end up literally being weapons of war around the world. And when I found those documents that said the trillions upon trillions that individual governments and countries would have to spend to create and improve their infrastructure, they're simply not going to be able to do it. And this is where the economic hit teams come in and make grants. We're all facing in our cities, while you all are working and the meetings are going on, they're taking on grants, public money that has to be paid back. They're borrowing at a rate undisclosed. We don't even know the amount of grant money that is being brought in. But we can tell you this. After the fires here in Northern California and Santa Rosa in 2017, they hired Ernst & Young from London, an accounting firm. And Ernst & Young is working with the city on creating new forms of taxable revenue based on natural resources. So I have a five-part video YouTube series that I did when I was in London at the AV10 conference. And I actually expanded on it and redid it when I got home. And it's up on stopthecrime.net. It's entitled Genocide is Legal and This is Why. And there are five parts. And I go over the documents and thread the combination of events that we are all facing. Now, I guess this is the easiest way for me to say what we now need to do. Because I lived on a boat, and because I did, we had devices for our safety. We had life rafts, we had vests, we had flares, flashlights, dock lines, food and rations, water. Should we flounder at sea, we had a way in which we could potentially survive. And we were, by the way, caught in an unprecedented storm in the Bay of Biscay in 1966. It was well known and documented as one of the horrific storms of that period of time. So now why am I talking about outfitting on a boat for safety? We're on land. We're not in the water, and we need to outfit ourselves now. We are in a storm, and we need equipment in order to survive, because our governments are pushing through policies from the bankers. We are the enemy. They are stealing from us. The idea and illusion of a legislative process is simply to keep us in check. It does not exist. And we're watching a puppet show in Washington, D.C., and in your local city councils and county boards of supervisors. They don't have any jurisdiction. And I roll out a lot of information on stopthecrime.net in our email blast outs. So if you haven't signed up, you can catch up on to our email blast outs by going there and reading quite a few of the email blast outs. They don't always turn into YouTube videos. But I can say
just this. Before you do, Deborah, just before you do, I want to read a few tweets because we get a lot of tweets. We are live on the radio on many different platforms and stations. And there are a lot of people listening to this with great interest. So just let me read a few tweets and then you come back on the ones that you want to come back on. Patricia makes the point, she's in Switzerland, that the people behind eugenics seem to be also behind the mainstream media, making it very difficult for average people to understand this or to know the truth. That's Patricia. John Byrne tweets, Richie and Deborah, James Corbett's films about Big Oil conquering the world and why Big Oil conquered the world actually explain the Big Oil banking origins of the climate change scare from the Rockefeller protege Morris F. Strong onwards. That's John. Let me scroll on down. Huge interest in this today. Deborah's website is stopthecrime.net. Gail says, well, if Pacific Gas and Electric are going to cut the power, why don't those affected stop paying them full stop for electricity they're not getting? Just pay for what they do get, or maybe even just stop paying them entirely. Huge interest in this, what's happening in California, because Deborah is on to talk about the announcement by the provider of utilities in California, Pacific Gas and Electric, their announcement that to try and prevent wildfires, they're cutting electricity to 800,000 homes in the great state of California. This is incredible, unprecedented, and Deborah is on talking about that. People are not aware of it, Deborah, and we talked about this earlier on, because there isn't a mainstream or even a commercial media outlet that will touch this. They won't go near it. They don't want to know.
Well, that's Richie, that's why we have stopthecrime.net. Yeah. That's why we are talking to you right now.
Yeah.
We are the media. And in fact, when you look at the NASA war document that I have up on stopthecrime.net, you find out very quickly through the 100 and some odd page PowerPoint that was delivered a couple of months before 9/11 by a NASA NASA Langley Research Center by Dennis Bushnell, you find out that the entire CNN syndrome, they call it, that's the fake news. The fake news is part of the weaponized psychological control of everybody, and that's how they are creating the propaganda to turn our children into psychological, emotional, absolute fearful of their lives in 12 to 10 years. This is media driven. That's why we've got to cut that psychological continuous pelting of this false narrative. And I really like one of the opening show comments that the now sadly passed away Dr. Stan Monteith used to open his radio show by saying, he's bringing you the story behind the story, the news behind the news, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of civilization, it will be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what all of our futures will be. And this is what we're bringing right now on this show, Richie, right now, is reality and not the illusion. So I would highly recommend that while you still have some time left, before they maneuver all of us onto what they now call a 100% renewable energy source. Now, everyone needs to hear this very, very carefully. Pacific Gas and Electric is California's largest utility. Again, it's a Rothschild-run utility, and so is yours. And right now, they are getting our cities to agree to transition into a greener 100% renewable energy source. They're saying because we have the world's largest geothermal operation here, 45 minutes out of Santa Rosa. Again, that would be about 80 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge. Owned originally by Pacific Gas and Electric. Now, I have some YouTubes up on that where I do a geothermal tour. Just scroll through the videos on stopthecrime.net. We've spent hours and hours filming and touring these places of death. And so now what they're saying is we're going to cut traditional forms of electricity delivery and go to 100% renewable, where 84% of that renewable energy is going to come from geothermal operations. Now, I'm going to pause there and describe that. Geothermal operations is injecting, in our case, the wastewater, the fecal, urine, and pharmaceutical water. They have it pumping up to this mountain, and they're injecting it into these boreholes. Some boreholes are going 13,000 feet. Most are about 8,000 feet. This is a form of fracking. They're creating acid rain and daily earthquakes. And I want to get into that in a minute, too. The next transition for renewable energy is solar. In 2020, all new construction here in California must have solar. Now, there's many problems behind that, and I'll discuss some of them. Number one, we have a housing crisis. Solar will cost anywhere from $20,000 to, whatever you want to operate.
Very expensive.
A tremendous amount of money. Mm. When you have solar and you have a blackout, you have no electricity. That is something that people don't understand. They see solar panels on someone's roof, the power shut off. They think they have solar. They do not. When the power's cut and you have solar, unless you have battery backup, you do not have electricity. Now, it's important to understand how the solar industry is setting up the battery backup and the entire solar grid as a weapon. And what do I mean by that? The battery backup is Tesla technology, when there's other technology that won't blow up, just like the electric bikes. If you type in electric bikes and lithium ion batteries, you'll see people jumping off these bikes.
Yeah.
As they're blowing up.
Yeah.
So what we have is we have literally assassins, like walking into marketplaces when they detonate these bombs and shrapnel blows everywhere. This is what the batteries are doing. This is a setup because you have to put these Tesla batteries in your garages. So you can type in Tesla batteries blowing up in garages and you'll see this is a weapon. You can get silicon salt batteries that do not blow up. But I will tell you, very difficult to get because the controllers do not want you to be safe. Moving on. So we've got solar now connected to the Internet of Things. It requires Wi-Fi, and of course it can be hacked, and they can and could likely cause a detonation or a battery failure. Very likely that this will be the case. We're going to continue to unravel that. They're telling us we're going to now be transitioning to wind as a renewable. And, of course, the weather is controlled. So all of the renewables, the solar and the wind and wave, they're going to use ocean waves for energy. And it is insanity because even the ocean is controlled by technologies. Most people will, of course, recognize the overhead aerial geoengineering controlling, which is the deliberate large-scale manipulation of the Earth's climate. But most people are unaware of the level of technologies that are being used in our oceans.
Let me jump in, because this is very important. Are you saying, then, that if we were not heating the ionosphere, if we were not deliberately messing with the Gulf Stream, if we weren't using weather modification machines, that naturally we would be able to harness the planet's natural energy, wind and sun and waves and all the rest of it? Would we be able to do that without the agenda?
Well, Richie, sadly, the weapons systems have created an imbalance in our reality of what we would consider to be natural.
Yeah.
And so I can't say what we could do. All
Fair
I know
enough.
Is that we've always had the availability to have and use clean energy that does not cause the types of pollution that has created this kind of damage that we're now facing.
And is that what we call... Sorry, Deborah.
Created. It was all intentionally created.
Did you just refer to free energy there? Because we know this is free energy. This is something that people have been talking about in the alternative media for years. This goes back to Nikola Tesla. It goes back to others as well. That the technology for free energy, totally clean, it's there, but it's being kept hidden.
Well, they're killing the scientists, Richie. They don't want this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want this out. You can't meter free energy in many instances. And unless things can be metered and priced out. In fact, right now what we're seeing is a tremendous effort by Gates and his money being pumped into massive solar dimming programs. So we're seeing more continual lessening of the sun, because Pacific Gas and Electric is also engaged with the Solaren Corp, S-O-L-A-R-E-N Corporation. And Pacific Gas and Electric, along with USA Inc. And London and Australia, Japan, many other countries, Russia. In fact, Pacific Gas and Electric is working with Russian patents to create satellites to direct energy from solar-based satellite structures, and that's now occurring. They're going to be able to conduct warfare and direct lasers to Earth. Now, I discuss that in the five-part video YouTube series I have up that I did in London. I disclose and we talk about the Solar Incorporation. Everyone needs to understand what we now must do. And my example of what we need to survive on the oceans on a boat applies now on land. We have storms. We will be hit with unprecedented types of weaponized events, economic events, massive psychological warfare. And there will be people emotionally that will not be able to survive. That is why now we are finding efforts to increase taxes to pay for more expanded mental health treatment centers. Because as people become more unable to deal with reality, because it smacked them in the face one day and they weren't slowly staying in touch with reality, they mentally will have nervous breakdowns. And of course, also, if you don't go along with the illusion, you're going to be considered mentally ill. I think we covered that story some months back.
We did.
When
yeah.
a woman there was went to talk about the cell phone tower that was near her place there in England, as I recall, and they picked her up a few days later and put her in a mental hospital. They call that 5150.
Yeah, do you know, she spoke to me live from the facility. I got it was me who got the interview. Suzanne Small. The woman's name is Suzanne Small. I'm still in touch with Suzanne. Let me put this to you, because this is really fascinating. We are in Mental Health Awareness Week here in the UK. They never shut up about it, Deborah. The news organisations never shut up about mental health. This is a brilliant segue. Now, you said a second ago, these artificially engineered weather events are going to get worse. I believe you are right. All of this info, by the way, is on Deborah's website, stopthecrime.net. Check it out if you haven't before. Stop the Crime on YouTube. So as they increase the artificially engineered weather events, the vast majority of the population is going to be more inclined to believe that this is man-made climate change. Therefore, they will acquiesce and go along with the lunatic asylum plans that they have for society. Zero carbon by 2025. Can you explain to my listeners, our listeners, if we go carbon neutral, what will that mean for human beings?
Well, there won't be people. There is no such thing as zero. And in fact, years ago, I found on the website about aiming for zero. And I have that as part of my conversation in that five-part video YouTube series. It's very important to understand the real goal of energy use is not using energy. And we found this on the U.S. Department of Energy website. And it says this: sustainability is not the same thing as zero energy. There is no such thing as zero energy. Energy does not exist in a vacuum. It always comes from somewhere and goes somewhere. Goes on. Because there is always a cost to energy, trade-offs are inevitable in order to find a harmonious balance that offers the greatest efficiency and least impact on the environment. This is the ultimate goal, to not use energy. The most efficient energy is energy we do not generate. This is not a technology. It is a behavior modification or learning to live in a new reality. And this, it came off of the U.S. Department of Energy website. So, Richie, I want to say we are being so psyops right now and deliberately executed by the controllers that have absolutely no moral values. There's no consideration at all. And when we went here amongst the kids that walked out of their school for the climate strike event, and we filmed it, that will be up on stopthecrime.net, because you need to be careful when you counter those types of Extinction Rebellion events and so forth, because you really are dealing with psychologically programmed and people that are in the illusion.
Your life has been threatened, Deborah.
They are frightened for their lives.
They are frightened. And over the years, because you've put documentation that you found or that was given to you by people who wanted you to put it in the public domain, over the years, you've had none too subtle threats to your own life, haven't you? I know this to be true. You've been told more than once to shut the hell up about this stuff. Or else.
Yeah, well, I don't like to speak about that.
No, because, I know that, but yeah.
Because I don't want people to be fearful in standing in right conduct, doing the next best right truthful thing every single day in search for the truth. And we are at war. We are at an extinction event. And the first victim of war is the truth, and the second victim of war is the truth. And out of fear, we have to stand up. Why else are we here? And certainly not to fall in lockstep with evil. And that's what we face. This is in a horrific battle between good and decent and evil. And this is the sign that we held up at the climate strike with the kids. We felt that it was important not to cause more harm than these kids have already suffered because of the illusion that they've been taught in school. And you have to remember, the Extinction Rebellion is a group of their children, their kids, that occupationally have been orphaned by parents that are busy working, and they needed daycare and childcare. So they've put them into these institutions that teach them nothing but disinformation. So when they graduate, and particularly if they go on to higher disillusion in education, they graduate with massive school debt, and they don't know the reality of the world that they're walking out into. So this is the sign we held up. We haven't had time yet to put this up on Stop the Crime, but it will be put up soon. You'll see us there wandering through the crowds. You will see how they have professional bullying teams. Bullying is an agenda. It is an agenda, and you're hearing around the clock, no bullying allowed in schools. Well, the government is a bully pulpit. This is what has happened. We have been bullied. We're being manipulated into silence because we get embarrassed and we get put down. We've got to step beyond that, because those emotions won't serve us when the last moment is facing you. But here's the sign we held up when we were in that strike walkout on climate change. It was just one quote by William Casey, the former CIA director, in 1981. And it was a very large sign. The kids were taking pictures of this. And it says, quote, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." And this goes across the globe. This is not just
no,
the
it
American
isn't.
Public.
Not unique.
This is,
yeah. Yeah, it's not
yeah,
unique.
This is everywhere.
America.
And that's the sign we held up with StopTheCrime.net under it. We don't do anything signage-wise without having a go-to site so that people can get more information. And we went out amongst the peripheral of these kids that were holding up, stop using fossil fuel, we're going to run out. They've been taught we're running out of petroleum. We're not. Petroleum is a renewable. It's a dirty use of fuel. Of course it is. But what one of the reasons that they're coming down on Venezuela right now is Venezuela, they're creating an economy from the oil production.
Of course.
You can't make it appear that we're running out of oil when Venezuela is supplying oil to other countries. You've got to stop it. And so there's just multiple facets occurring right now where we are being transitioned into electric vehicles. And right now, Pacific Gas and Electric is working with their other arm, which is the Public Utility Commission, which is, again, a running tackle for the utilities, set up by the utilities. When we frequented the California Public Utility Commission, thinking at one point we could maybe stop the deployment of the smart meters years back, like 2009 and so forth, we went to San Francisco multiple times and spoke to the Public Utility Commission. Well, the head of the commission later left because the FBI or some intelligence went through his home to dig up documents because he was found conducting business overseas and bringing in contractual agreements and making money in the millions. He is now working for the Solaren Corp, S-O-L-A-R-E-N Corporation. This is nasty. This is horrific. And what I want to say also,
Deborah, hang on one second. Yes. All of this, of course, is documented. For those who want me to challenge that assertion, this is all documented on StopTheCrime.net. I just want to point out that we've got about 4.5 minutes left. Now, you're a broadcaster yourself, so no excuses. Keep an eye on the clock there. And you can have the last few minutes, of course, to wrap this up where we came in, because it's very important what's happening in California now. PG&E, blackouts for 800,000 homes, based on what I believe to be a pack of lies. I think you've demonstrated that clearly to me in programs over the years. So I'll give you the final word on it. We've got about 4 minutes left on this, Deborah. And I know you'll be back to update us as this runs and runs and develops, as it undoubtedly will. So over to you.
This is a developing story. We are continuing today with the red flag fire warnings. They're looking at multiple continued outages through Monday. So we're going to have intermittent long outages. They're saying that they have to inspect every inch of their lines throughout the state before they can re-energize the system. And they told us that the lines could wrap around the earth. That's the length of the lines that they have to inspect. So you can imagine that there are going to be thousands and thousands of people that will be out of power as they inspect the 25,000 miles of raw, uninsulated lines in most instances. So, again, this is a consolidation of power. It is not what it seems. This is psychological warfare. This is war on every level. And we are in trouble. We are on the front lines here with this historic blackout in California. And I will look forward to keeping all of you updated, because we're anticipating and most concerned about increased looting. We know that when there is a blackout, such as what happened in New York recently, looters appeared on the scenes within hours. The police right now are being mum about any looters, but again, we knew that back in 2017, looters were being bussed in from the Bay Area in vans and dropped off and roaming through the burning streets. So we will keep you posted, Richie. We are on the front lines here. We will be surveying the area, going through the areas of severe shutdowns, talking to people we know that are also traumatized, because this is a re-injury of many people that lost their homes, many people that lost family members, and thinking of Paradise and those other areas, they have power outages up in Nevada City, which is just an hour out of Paradise, where they burned most of the city down. This is an intentional fire, weaponized fire event. Fire is a big business. Homelessness is going and will be a big business too, as we are all becoming incarcerated as we fall out of housing. We will be, sadly, victims of climate. We will become victims and become climate refugees on many levels. And most important to understand what's happening to the coastlines, I have a video up called Coastlines Under Attack. But I cover that, Richie. When I was in London, I brought the coastline maps from London. I showed that, and you can see that for all of you that are listening in the five-part video YouTube series on StopTheCrime.net entitled Genocide is Legal and How Did This Happen? It's a five-part video YouTube series. Please start with the first one and don't start in the middle, because it walks you through the buildup of what we face right now. And we do talk about blackouts. Blackouts are going to expand. They're going to become more frequent until we transition to solar, which is then going to be controlled, and we're going to be connected to an increasing situation of weaponization. So, Richie, I'm looking forward to keeping this updated with you.
Always.
And looking forward to maybe being back on in even maybe a week or so to keep this discussion going.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time today. Crazy time for you with the amount of broadcasting, and everybody wants to have you on. I appreciate that. StopTheCrime.net is where you'll find the links to the five-part series that Deborah talked about. It is very, very informative. I can't recommend it highly enough if you haven't seen it. Look after yourself over there and your people, Deborah, and thanks so much again.
Well, thank you. We are all in the same boat, so we've got to hold on to one another now and get the truth out.
Well said,
thank
Deborah.
Thank you, Richie, for what you do.
You're very welcome. Deborah Tavares, live on the line from California. StopTheCrime.net. Godspeed to Deborah and her colleagues and her team there. That's about it for today's program. I want to thank Deborah again for coming on, and of course, Dr. Chris Busby, who was on the program in the first hour as well. A number of you have mentioned FEMA concentration camps. Jean Ann mentioned it, David has mentioned it, and others. We didn't have time to get into that, but it is widely believed that the notion of FEMA camps, that's the Federal Emergency Management Agency, that has not gone away, and that these things do exist. Because when this really hits the fan, this, in the next few years, that those who dissent and who try to resist it, well, there'll be a place for them to go to. I know it sounds absolutely crazy, doesn't it? But believe me, it isn't. That's it for Thursday's Richie Allen Show. Again, thanks to my guests. Thanks to you for listening. Do look after yourselves and one another. Have a terrific weekend. I'll speak to you on Sunday morning. The morning after, the night before, I'll be at Salford in St. Helens at the at Old Trafford Football Stadium on Saturday, watching the Salford Red Devils in the grand final, the Super League grand final. I'm looking forward to that. Meeting up with Tez and a few lads for a few beers. So I'll talk to you all about that on Sunday. So until then, it's bye for me. Going out today with Bob Dylan. Here's a bit of Bob Dylan for you. Closing out the programme. Until Sunday View at 11 on Sunday morning, it's bye for me. Bye now.